Blog Talk Radio.
Last week we talked about the short story and the short story. So I thought it'd be nice today to read you some short stories, or two exactly, and they're examples of my own work. And it's also going to be showing how you can give the message of salvation through stories. So I'm going to read you one. I'll start off with this one, which is called Heaven's Child. Now, there's a history around how I wrote this specific short story. I have a ministry, Grace and Glory Ministry, and Heaven's Child Ministry. And our Heaven's Child Ministry is a street ministry where we go out and we minister to those on the street. We pass tracts and talk to them about that they are Heaven's children. So I want to read you a little bit of the background of our street ministry so you get an idea of where this story is heading. Okay, so the first thing here is when I thought about writing this story, Heaven's Child, I wasn't really sure how to begin, you know, and then I heard the sounds of kids laughing at the nursery school down the block. They were so full of life and happy, not a care in the world, which is what children should be. But what happens between the time in their lives and in their young lives and adulthood? Something happens to steal the laughter and take away the sparkle in their eyes and dims their hopes and dreams. As they grow, they lose their inner childlike faith that says that they can be whatever they believe they can. And then slowly they begin to question why they were born. What are they supposed to do with this life that's been given them? And who created them in the first place? They soon start to measure themselves by the accomplishments of others and feel inferior. Perhaps this happens because of race, cultural heritage, background, or environment. But it happens in everyone, regardless of where you live in the world. We all grow and we choose a career, marry, or stay single, perhaps even have children. But still, there's that nagging question of our existence and purpose. And I too had these questions when I was growing up. And one day my mother told me about God, that he had created me for a purpose and with talents and gifts that would be revealed to me as I learned about him and trusted him with my life. She also said I was on the loan from God to her, and I belonged to him from the very beginning. Now, my parents were the avenues through which I was brought to earth, but my real home was with him from the beginning. In reality, I was Heaven's child, as are all people on this earth. Some may not have come to the knowledge of that yet, but it's true. We were sent here from heaven for a season and for a reason. God intended for us to discover him as we knew him before birth as our creator. He wants us to worship him and know him on a personal level and carry his truth about him to the lost and sinful dying world through our acceptance of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you watch children, you know, it's so evident that this is true. You know, they're so believing, so trusting, you know, and they have such faith, you know. And God, you know, God, that's the way God wants us to be. He wants us to have faith as a little child. But if something happens between the time, you know, we start growing up, the Lord's voice gets less and less and the world's voice gets louder and louder. And that's why sometimes we don't make the right choices, because we get confused because the volume of the world is so high and God's voice becomes very low. That's why he sent Jesus into the world, so that he could turn up the volume to God and reconnect us to him. He came to tell us who we really are and why we were sent to this earth in the beginning, and what our mission in this life through our gifts and talents are to be. Now, once we all realize that we are heaven's children, regardless of what status in life we hold, then we will be about doing the business of the Lord and knowing that the time is short and have other brothers and sisters to come to know him too. So that's a little background into my ministry, Heaven Child's Ministry, and what led me to write this story. So now I'm going to read you a little bit of this short story, which shows you how you can weave the story of salvation in through a story that will make it captivating and interesting to you. So this is called Heaven's Child. Heaven, that's what everyone called her. No one really knew where she came from. She just showed up one day on the streets. It seemed so strange, even to the street folks, that such a pretty young girl would be there passing out tracts and talking about Jesus Christ. Oddball couldn't understand it, but he, like the others, watched out for her, making sure no one harmed her. Street folks looked out for their own, and Heaven had become just that. Every day she was there, after 3 o'clock, handing out tracts, smiling, and every day he bought her whatever food he could get from the mission. He figured she was about 12. He worried about her, though. She was so thin. Her huge brown eyes looked sunken, and her thin frame could be seen clearly from beneath her jacket. It was like a race to see which one of them could do the most for her. Sheets brought her milk every day, and Bangles made sure she had something sweet. And old Hannah picked up clothes that oddly fit pretty well. But at night, she was always gone. Where she went was a mystery, but also a relief, since he knew nighttime was more dangerous than the daytime for women. And being older men, he might often fall asleep, and since it was so cold, you know, far too cold for a young girl like her. So when she didn't show up at nighttime, he felt that was probably better. As he lay down in his box to sleep, he smiled to himself as he thought about her. Heaven had never heard of such names like theirs before: Oddball, Sheets, Bangles, and old Hannah. And she liked them all. She didn't laugh like some of the other folks on the streets. She always smiled and said, "Jesus loves your names, and I do too." He was just about asleep when he heard footsteps coming close. He grabbed the bat he kept by him for protection and jumped up quickly. At first, he could only see shadows, but then quickly the shadows got closer and clearer, and he could tell that it was two people. He blinked in disbelief as they came closer. It was Heaven and some man. The man had his hand in hers. What he had been trying to protect her from had happened. Some man had gotten her and was taking her away to harm her, maybe even kill her. He jumped to his feet, swinging that bat wildly, ready to pop the man in the head and grab Heaven for himself and keep her safe. He stopped abruptly when he saw Heaven's face. She was smiling so happily, like he had never seen her smile before. Then he looked at the man holding her hand and blinked in shock. It looked just like the man in those tracks she gave him. She said his name was Jesus, that he loved everyone, even those on the streets. She had told them that Jesus wanted her to live with him in a beautiful place, a new home that he had for her, and that he wanted to make a home for them too, if they would ask him into their hearts. Heaven smiled at him and looked up into the man's face, and he smiled back at her, and then looked down at him and smiled too. He watched them both as they started to walk away, but not before Heaven turned and waved goodbye. The man took her into his arms, and then, to his amazement, they both vanished. Morning came, and Oddball wasn't sure if it was a dream, but the news was all over the streets. A young girl's body was found wrapped in a blanket outside of a local church, a short distance away last night. While others waited for Heaven to return at her usual time, Oddball didn't. He knew where she was, and it wasn't a dream. She was with Jesus, warm, happy, and loved, and he wanted that too. As the tears fell from his eyes, he fell to the ground and asked Jesus into his heart. A joy filled him that he couldn't explain. He was so happy, and deep inside, he knew Heaven was too. So that's an example of a short story that has interesting characters that you can really build upon. I won an award for that story, and the lady told me that it would be a great movie, and that she would like to know more about Oddball, Bangles, old Hannah, you know. And so, but it weaves the story of salvation, a young girl, you know. And so that's why I wrote the story. It's kind of associated with my ministry, because I really feel we're all Heaven's children. And sometimes, you know, we just don't know it, but God used a little child in this story to witness to them. And you can do the same in the stories that you write to witness to people at the same time. So now I'm going to read my second story, which this one is called Written in Red. It's called Written in Red by Pastor Jana Fears. The professor gathered his papers together and shoved them into his briefcase. Classes were over for another year. All that was left now was to submit student grades. It would be nice to sleep in tomorrow and not have to wake up or battle early morning traffic. With the children all grown and off on their own, the house seemed extremely quiet, but he enjoyed the quiet. His wife, Jillian, had passed away 3 years ago. He had adjusted himself to being alone, except when the grandchildren came during the summer months. He frowned. Summer was not here, and he knew he soon would have the eager little boys and girls' foot underneath him, running through the house, yelling and screaming. Summer was coming. He smiled to a few colleagues as he made his way to the parking lot and to his car. What would he do with three boys in the summer? His wife always seemed to know how to keep their attention. Jillian, he said as he thought about her. They had met the first day of registration at college and were inseparable from that day on. After four children, he still recalled her beauty and energy. If he only had gone with her to the supermarket that morning, maybe she would still be alive. The police said that she tried to shield a little boy when a gunman shot and was hit dead instantly. He wiped the sweat from his brow as he merged into the lane leading to his house. Perhaps he could have struggled with the man if he'd been there. Where was that Jesus that she often talked about, that she put so much faith in? Where was he when she needed him? He felt his face grow hot. All those years she talked to him about having faith, about Jesus being real and life after death, and that she hoped he would soon accept Jesus into his heart. Never, he shouted out loud, bringing the car to a quick stop. Never. Written in red. It was strange how those words suddenly came back to him now. That was what Jillian always said to him when she talked about salvation. She would smile at him and say, salvation was purchased for him with the blood of God, own son, Jesus Christ. It was a done deal, written in red. He was already forgiven for all of his sins. He shoved the TV dinner into the microwave as he always did after work and set the timer. As he stood staring out the kitchen window, he suddenly thought he caught a glimpse of a woman's figure by the flower garden. He quickly pushed open the patio door. What nerve, he said to himself. Some strange woman was bent over by his wife's prized roses. Well, he would get her out of there real quick. He rushed past the patio doors, almost falling, but somehow managed to stay upright on his feet. Hey, hey you, he shouted. What do you think you're doing here? Get away from those roses. The woman seemed to ignore his demand as she continued to work diligently with the dirt. He was practically running now, but still she never looked up as he approached. He was only a few feet away from her, yet he could smell the scent that lingered in the air. His wife had worn it for years. She often joked about its name, Taboo. He stood spellbound, afraid to speak, just standing there watching her long, slender fingers move the dirt around in her hands. It was then that he recognized the dress. It was a four-print dress that long to her ankles, and she had on that big floppy sun hat that covered most of her face. But he knew, yet it just couldn't be, he told himself. He reached out a shaking hand to touch her, then pulled away and then retreated a few feet. Suddenly the woman stood up. She was looking at something in her hand. He could see that she was bleeding. The blood was running down her fingers onto the ground in ringlets. Written in red, she said softly, written in red. And never looking at him, though, the hat still covering her face. But he didn't have to see her. He knew. He felt the tears running down his cheeks and quickly wiped them away, only to discover when he did, she was gone. He wasn't a man who showed emotion, but he could not hold the tears any longer. He didn't know how long he was on his knees in the garden, crying and asking God to forgive him for not believing in him and accepting what he had done for him at Calvary. And then he asked him into his heart. He knew God had sent Jillian to tell him one more time. As he raised his hands and praised to the Lord, he felt a joy he could not explain. Jillian was right. It was written in red, and he would live for that truth. He knew he would see her again one day. That was written in red, too. So now that's another story that shows how salvation came to a person that did not believe. And the wife prayed for him. And, you know, God has ways of reaching us. He will talk to us at different times, you know, and in certain ways. And sometimes, you may be in a certain place or even in a strange place, and somebody may say something to you that you've been thinking about and that you've been maybe, you know, worried about or praying about. And when they say something, whatever it is that they say, you know that it's God speaking to you. Even if you're not a Christian, you know some things happen. And sometimes things are said to you, and you know, how could they know that? And God is always reaching out. And so that's, you know, these two stories shows how God reached out to the homeless, to that little girl, Heaven. That's the only name they knew for her. It probably wasn't a real name, but that's what they called her, Heaven. And how she touched their lives and how she changed, most of them. Now, Oddball, we know he accepted the Lord. So her ministry of just coming, passing those tracks, and that's where I was impressed to add up the second part of my ministry, which is Grace and Glory Ministry, and then I added Heaven's Child, because we go out on the streets and we pass the tracks and we tell the people about the Lord and that they're all Heaven's children, regardless of what stature of life that they're in, from the very rich to the very poor. If you live on the street, you're still God's child. And so when writing, you can write stories that are meaningful. If I mess up a little bit, some of them, excuse me, you know, it's hard to read your own work sometimes. I do better, you know, when I'm reading somebody else's. But the stories, you can write short stories that are just one page. That Heaven's Child story was just one page. Written in Red was 2.5 pages. But either way, you can talk to the readers through your words. You can witness through your words. And you never know how that story will affect somebody. You know, sometimes you can just write it, you know, just write a story and lay it at a bus stop. And you never know how many people come to the bus stop and sit down and may pick up your story and may read it. And it may be just what they need at that particular point in time in their life. So there's always a way to witness in your stories. And you don't have to write stories. Now, like I said, you can write little tracts, little pamphlets. But this is just an example of writing the short story that you can, you know, some people, like I say, aren't into writing long stories because, you know, like I said, a longer story would be 1,500 words or more. But a short can be 500 words. It can be even less than that. It can be a paragraph. But if it's put together, you know, in the right order and the words are situated the right way, you can touch a person's heart and reach them with the gospel. And that's what I wanted to give an example of doing in a short story. So that's what a short story is all about. And I like to write short stories because it gives me a chance to, you know, say something that's pertinent in my heart and to say it in a quick manner, you know, without taking a long time, like in a novel or in a novella, you know, something like that. I'm writing novels right now, and I always incorporate scripture that goes along with the storyline, and that's good too, because, you know, when in a novel, you can go into more detail, and you can draw the person in more, and you can put more scriptures in. But a lot of times, if you don't have the feeling to do that, but you do like to write stories, you can write a short story, and it can still minister to someone. You can pass them out in churches, you know, or just, you know, people that you know, or someone that you know that is depressed or lonely or downhearted. You can write a story, maybe that'll just uplift them. It just depends on, you know, where your desire is and how the Lord gives you the words. But He will give you the words. So writing a short story is a nice way to witness. And that's what I do a lot of times. I have a lot of short stories. Maybe I'll read some more at another time. But that's just those two. Now, you can also witness, you know, by writing poems, too, like I said before. It doesn't have to be sometimes a short poem can be almost like a story. It can reveal something. Okay, I'm going to read you one here that I wrote, and it's a short story. It's a short poem, really, but it says something like you would say if you were writing a story about it, but it says it very quickly. Okay, so this is from my book, Reflections of Life, but it's a short story that says, it tells you, it gives a message. You know, we're not all in this world forever. And this little poem says it very nicely. It makes you think about life. This one is called Life. Now, it's a poem, but it also gives a message, salvation message in a sense. What is life? Life is a stage that we all start acting on at a very early age. What is life? Life is a script whose pages you sometimes want to rip. You would love to start over and act it again and rewrite the pages from beginning to end. But the curtains are open, the stage lights are on, and you don't know when your audience will be gone. You must stay on the stage for as long as you can act, for one day the director will say, that's a wrap. So that makes you think about life. Life is like a stage. So that's like a little story in itself, but it makes you think about life. What's important in life? You know, just, you know, staying, you know, doing what's right. And sometimes your life isn't the way you want it. So it makes you think. It's a little story in a poem. It makes you think about sometimes you'd like to go back and just change and say, I wish I could just start all over again, but you can't. So I'm going to read one more. And this one is it's my little salvation message, I call it. And it's the very last one in here. Now, this is a way of also speaking through poetry, but it talks about, in a sense, about salvation. It's called, There's a Light at the End of the Road. There's a light at the end of life's road where your story one day will be told. Every page of your life God will see. Will you be happy at what he reads? He'll play your life movie from beginning to end and decide if you've been an enemy or a friend. So these are ways that you can witness. You can tell a story through poetry. You can tell a short story. Just write a short story. But anyway, so that's what this program, I hope, has shown you, that writing short stories is another avenue, and it's an easy way to start if you just want to get started writing. So I hope this will maybe encourage you to go on and do more in your writing endeavors, Christian writing especially. Now, next week, I'm going to have a guest author. His name is J.W. Luff, and he's a Christian sci-fi writer, and he's going to be on next Saturday, the 24th, at the same time, and he will be talking about his venture into Christian sci-fi writing. And I don't know too much about that, so I'm kind of excited and interested in talking with him. I've looked up some of his work, and so he's excited about coming and sharing his love for Christian sci-fi and getting the world back for Jesus in that area by using Christian sci-fi. So I hope that you will come back then, and that you will, check him out and listen to him talk. He's going to tell you all about himself, about his books, and a little bit about his life and, you know, his Christian experience and why he chose to write Christian sci-fi and where he gets his storylines from, and so on and so on. So I do hope you'll come back. But always remember, any writing that you do as a Christian writer should always be to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ through everything. You want to show the hand of God, whether it's in a poem. And like I say, poems can show it, you know, short stories can show it, novels can show it, pamphlets, tracts, whatever you write. Just pray and ask God to guide you and to show you exactly what to say, to touch the world for him, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to touch the world for Jesus, you know, because the world needs hope, and there's so much, you know, hopelessness in the world today. There's so much tragedy that people wonder, like I said, in Heaven's Child, you know, they wonder why they're born, why they're here, what's their purpose. God has a purpose for everybody, but we have to get to know him so he can reveal it. If you just, you know, if God's not in your life, it is like you're floundering someplace. It's like you're lost at sea and you have no direction. But that's what God wants us to have, direction in our life. He wants us to know him as we knew him when before we came to this earth. We were with him, and he gave us parents, so we came through that avenue, but we have to give our life back to him, and he wants us to do that willingly. You know, God's a gentleman. He's not going to beat you over the head and tell you, you've got to come to know me. You've got, no. God is a gentleman. He wants you to come to know him because you want him to come to know him, because he's so special, you know, and he's so loving, he's so kind. And plus, he died for you. Who do you know is going to do that? And so that's what we want to do. We want to praise the one who's everything to us, who's given us everything, who means everything to us. And we want that to show in our writing, our love for him. And so that's what our aim is as Christian writers. In the Christian writer's world, we are the voice of Jesus broadcasting to the world through books, novels, plays, however we try to do it, tracts, pamphlets. You know, we're just broadcasting Jesus Christ to a world that needs him so much, so much. And so that's my program for today, and I do hope, as I said, you'll come back next week and hear J.W. Luff and hear his story about writing sci-fi Christian fiction. And as I always say, whatever you do in your writing, in your life, do it all to the glory of God. Blessings. Bye-bye now.